Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and I'm so glad you are listening to New Life Live today. We've got two great folks here, and they're going to help with any question that you might have. And I hope you'll just pick up the phone and call 1-800-229-3000. But today we have Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams in the house.
Hi, in guys. The house.
It's good to be in the house.
We are in the house. I think I'm in the house. Is my mic on the house?
It is in the house. I hear
okay.
I hear your
All right.
mic. It's on. Well, it's a great, great day here at New Life. We say around here it's never just another day at New Life because we get to hear the stories of people whose lives are being changed, and it is such a privilege. If you're one of our supporters, thank you so much that you support us and we get to do what we get to do. Somebody said if you do something that you love, you never have to go to work a day in your life. I am living that. You know, this is not work. This is just one of the greatest, most wonderful ministries ever. And I am so thankful to get to be part of it, and your support does that for us. Now, let's say you're sitting there and you're a little depressed today. Who wouldn't be a little depressed? I mean, it's just part of the situation. Let's just say you're sitting there and you don't even know what you feel. You've never even felt this way before. It's kind of like being in limbo. That's a horrible place to live, limbo. So that's kind of what we're hearing. A lot of people are in that place. Don't know what's up ahead. And here's the thing. You hear on TV, guys, you hear, we're all in this together. You know, you see these commercials. We're in this together. We are not in this together. Let me tell you why. Some people, their life is no different other than some quarantine and stuff. They're going to work and they're employed. They're fine. Other people, like if you're a food server in certain places or whatever, you just lost all your income. There's no restaurant. It's closed. I was pulling up to, this will tell you something about me, Cracker Barrel, and I wanted to have some biscuits and eggs and taking Solomon. No, they're not serving. So all those servers inside that restaurant, they don't have a job. So
yeah,
I'm telling
so
you, it's different
hard.
For everybody. Yeah,
it is. You know, and you bring up limbo. You know, I think the last time I did limbo, it's that game where you have to lean back and try to go under that bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm having to lean back and be really stretched in ways that I've never been stretched before. I don't like leaning back. I would prefer to lean forward, right? But it's almost like I've had to just tell myself, Sherry, just float right now. Mm-hmm. Lean back. It's not forever. I know you're wound up like I am. I just know I'm different than I normally am.
Yeah.
But I'm having to learn to lean back, and sometimes I even land on my keister, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's like I just find myself in a situation getting, you know, too short too soon, and I have to recalibrate over and over again. But you know one thing? I know I'm being stretched in a way that I could have never imagined, and in some ways, I think I'm getting stronger. Even in the midst of this hard time, it's forcing me to put my roots deeper down, trust God, you know, pull resources up I never knew I had. So,
a stronger Sherry Keffer. Look out, world. Here she comes. I thought you were strong enough. All right. 1-800-229-3000 to join us. By the way, today, Facebook Live, finishing up a marriage series. I'm doing a new series starting the 7 keys to transformation. We used to call them Seven Keys to Spiritual Renewal. Seven Keys to Transformation, doing the first one. I'll record that, or maybe I'll do it live, Dan. Forget which one it is, one or the other. 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and have calls lined up here. You can join us, 1-800-229-3000. We are in the studio for 2 hours here today, and so glad that you are in the studio with us. Let's go to Brenda. She's calling from Sacramento, California. KFIA is the station. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the honor of talking to you guys today.
And certainly. What's going on?
Just life. And just, I'm feeling stuck. I'm feeling unmotivated. I'm feeling like my life hasn't been anything like I would like it to be at this point anyway. No. I feel like I've lived my life for everybody else, and I feel like, you know, I had to help raise grandkids, which was no problem. I had no problem doing it. I love my grandkids, but I thought it would be over, and then we had to take in another grandson who had cancer and caused him some emotional problems and caused him to have problems with his own family, his dad and family. Mm. So he had to come stay with us, and he's causing us, you know, issues. And I feel like I'm not motivated. I was in a really dark place a couple of weeks ago, really, really dark place.
So do you feel like you've just given and given and really haven't been able to do the things you want or things you plan because of your ability and willingness to give? Is that what we're talking about?
It feels like something always interrupts me wanting to do my own life. I just want to I want to be able to live my own life. I'm not that young anymore, and I want to live the remainder of my life, you know, doing the things I want to do. I want to still be there to help.
Yeah.
You know, support my family, but I don't want to be a caregiver anymore. I haven't been able to be a real grandmother because the mother walked out, so I was more of a mother. I did everything a mother does, and now here I am doing it again.
Okay.
At this stage in my life, and I don't have, you know, I don't feel like I have a, I mean, I'm very close to the Lord, but I don't have that support. I don't feel I feel like I don't have a Christian family. We don't go to church together. We don't do anything spiritually together.
So let me try to give you some help here. We want to try to give you some help, and I just have one other question. Have you ever been to any kind, online or in person, a caregiver support group?
Not caregiver support group, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to encourage you, no matter what else we ask or suggest, that would be something you'd look into. Why don't we start with you, Dr. Keffer, and what is it that she could do? She's giving, she's given out, and she's caring, and man, it's tough to care one more day when you've just given out. What do you think?
Oh, first off, I just want to say I'm so sorry, Brenda, about your grandson and the cancer. And I can only imagine how hard this is right now, especially if you're his primary. Did you say his mom left? So it's your...
She has not been in his life hardly at all. She was here in town, but she hardly ever sees him, never saw him.
Now, this is your son's...
This is my son.
Son's son, right? This is your son's child.
Yes. He doesn't speak to his dad, which makes it even worse.
Right.
You know, he won't speak to his dad because his cancer caused some emotional problems, so he thinks his dad is the enemy, his sister is the enemy.
Right, you know, but you kind of get you get caught in the crossfire. So this is one thing about caretakers that I think it's the most challenging thing for us, and I'm included in this. Quick question, did you grow up in a home where you took care of either your siblings or one of your parents? Were you the person that kind of wrangled people? Which
kind of funny that you asked me that, because I grew up in a family of 9 kids.
Okay.
And I was third eldest. My mom was a single parent. My mom worked at night, so it was on the rest of the older ones to make sure the house ran.
Yeah. And so you, my dear, are absolutely exhausted, because this didn't just start with your kids. You have been doing this. You were groomed. You were parentified as a child because of growing up in a single parent family. And I love the fact that you're reaching out to us, because it feels like you're gasping for air. And when you say you had a really dark place, let me check in with you. When you say that, do you mean I don't want to live anymore? What does dark place mean?
I have those thoughts sometimes. Sometimes I have those thoughts where I don't want to, but then I get scared of having those thoughts, because I don't want to not be here. I want to be here much longer.
Right.
But I have those thoughts, and I have to fight those thoughts. You know, I have to cast down those thoughts.
Yeah.
And
so what should she do?
I get rid of the thoughts.
Right.
I can't do anything. I can't make myself clean, or
So
my life is falling apart around me.
But this is your greatest challenge. Let me tell you what your greatest challenge is. This is your goal, to learn how to say no. No. And no is the hardest word for caretakers. In fact, because I'm a caretaker, I sometimes have to use a different word than no. I have to say this. Unfortunately, I'm not able to do that. Now, unfortunately is the same as no. It's just in my recovery of learning how to say no, because I was a codependent, I became a caretaker in my family because of some severe mental illness. And so I learned how to say yes before I would say no. I didn't even know it was okay to say no. And so you, my dear, it's a matter of life and breath for you. You, my dear, have to learn how to say no. And I don't know how you're going to do that. It may be through individual counseling. It may be by accountability in some of your girlfriends looking at you and saying, girl, you were supposed to say unfortunately. Because caretakers, we say yes very quickly. And we don't wait for other people to pick up the pieces of their life. So when you don't say unfortunately, then that mama of your grandson, hey, she sees you step up and she doesn't have to take any responsibility.
Oh, she doesn't. She's not in their life to take responsibility. She that's a long story. She's not in their life.
I understand. I understand. But do you see how, and I know this sounds crazy, because it feels like death to us. It feels like death to us to begin to put boundaries around what we can do, because it doesn't seem like there's a solution. So we step in, and then we fill in the solution. And so that, my dear, is your number one goal. And I think you're afraid to do that because you don't want the...
I don't think I'm afraid. I don't know how.
Okay.
I really don't know how.
I love that. Yeah. That's honest. Chris, what are some thoughts around the how? Because that's really honest.
Okay, so starting here as well is that in any given day, we have a limited amount of energy. Every human being on planet Earth has a limited amount of energy. Now, some have more than others, but I tend to be a limited energy person. So when that is gone, it's gone. All of your energy, Brenda, is going out, and there's nothing coming back in. When you lose that energy, you're experiencing something right now called depression, and that's a very serious condition. And so you have to learn to say no to the things that are draining your energy. Like Sherry said, things like, you know, no, and things like, unfortunately, you know, I like to use a term that doesn't work for me.
And that's a nice one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
And so, especially as a people pleaser, I try that one on.
Yeah.
So, but yes to the things that give energy back to you. If your family doesn't go to church, that's up to them. You go to church. If that's the place where you feel spiritually connected, where you get rejuvenated, or you have coffee with friends, you develop friendships, like Steve was saying, you get in a support group, you start saying yes to the things that give you energy, and then you have to let go of other people. Give them into the hands of God, that you're not God for them. That during that time where you're taking care of yourself, you pray this prayer, God, you have a problem, and it's my family members. Please take care of them.
So with a child, with grandchild with cancer, what it means is whoever's doing the cancer treatment for him right now?
He's in remission. He's in remission.
Okay. So you need some respite. What do you think about what Chris just said? It means changing. The opposite of no is on. and you've been on for a very long time, like a light switch, and you are burning out, which I love the fact that you brought up depression, right? Yeah. That's what happens. But the opposite of on is no, I can't.
But how do I know which things I can say no to? Like, there are things we have to make sure he does because we're his guardian. Legally, we have to make sure there are certain things he does, and I don't want to do those things. I don't want to do
here's your
anymore.
Okay, here's your first I can't, or your first no, is just to admit, I can't do this on my own. You've been trying to do it on your own. So once you say, okay, the can't is I can't do this on my own. Now let's look at some options of how I get this done, taking care, but I get some breaks here. It's not full time. Somebody steps in. Somebody helps. I go to my church. I ask them, is there anybody here that could relieve me during this time? I mean, that's just one simple way. Sherry, what else should she be looking at?
Your son. Your son.
He won't speak to his dad. He will not.
No.
He has nothing to do with his dad.
I understand, but this is between you and your son. So what can your son do to take responsibility for his son?
Yeah.
There's nothing he can do because legally they gave him to us because he was a danger to his dad. Let me put it that way. So there's nothing he can do. He was a danger.
His dad could help fund some caretaking time. For the son that he brought into the world. Okay, so there's something you can ask for.
Good. Did you see that? There was a solution right there.
So Brenda, what I want you to do is I want you to get into therapy because there's going to be a great therapist out there, probably someone in our network that can help you decide what are my yeses and what are my nos, and then develop a plan forward so that you can get you back, you can get your life back, and that you can show up for the people that you're caretaking for, but more importantly right now, show up better for yourself.
So one of the great things that happens to us when we get in trouble is we come to realize I have an extreme limitation, and I'm now going to accept that, and I'm going to look at some options given this extreme limitation. Now, we might say that her limitation is being able to take care of this boy, that she's not able to do it on her own. But when you look at it, the real extreme limitation that she has is her inability or unwillingness to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say, like I was saying, get help for, you know, but going deeper, I got to work on the willingness or ability to say no. Sherry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say one last thought. I'd love to see Brenda in a codependent recovery support group. And right now, since COVID's out there, so many of them are virtual. Mm-hmm. But I know that's what helped me week after week as I went. I discovered that I didn't value myself enough. I didn't feel worthy enough to draw a boundary to say no. I was so busy trying to find my love and value and caring for others. That's how I got cookies, right?
Yeah.
But when I started to value myself, I began to go, I need to protect myself. I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And some people got upset as I started to say no, or unfortunately. But you know what? Their upset lasted for like a minute or two, but my life changed completely. So if you're sitting here listening to us right now and you get this, you don't know how to say no, just like Brenda, then get into a CODA recovery support group.
Absolutely. All right. So glad that you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. Oh, I believe if you could read that book, follow the directions there, become the decider, the defender of your value, become the developer of good things, you could take your life back. Let's go to Marissa, Dallas, Texas. KWRD. Marissa, how are you? Thanks for joining us here today. So glad you're with us. What's going on in your life today?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. And as you said, with the COVID situation, it affects people very differently.
Yes.
Our situation is that it's been a huge financial change for us. My husband had to close his business and declare bankruptcy.
Aww.
Oh my goodness.
And we are 66 years old and have been married for almost 43 years. So we have previously been millionaires at one point, and we've always had plenty of money. And to have this be our situation at this stage in our life, it's just, it's very shocking. And
sure. Well, Marissa, I've got to go to a break. Hold on. We'll get right to you right after. So glad you called.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program today. We would love to have you. We're going to do another program after this. So we're in the studio for another hour and 40 minutes, 1-800-229-3000. That is the number. And then also, tomorrow, Chris Williams is joining me on the new television program, Life Recovery Today. That's 11 o'clock. That's 11 o'clock on Thursday. That's 11 o'clock Eastern Time on Thursday, NRB Network, a few other places. You can find out about it at liferecoverytoday.net. Really excited about this, and I hope you will be too. So right now, we're talking to Marissa, and they've been millionaires. They're ready to, in their 60s, retirement's up ahead. COVID comes, had to file for bankruptcy. Marissa, tell us what it is where, I kind of think we know, but how could we help you the most? How do you think we could help the most here?
I guess I'm just not sure what my role should be in this situation. We have an old-fashioned marriage.
Yes,
for the most part, my husband has been the breadwinner through, we've been married, as I said, a long time, 42 years.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out my role at this point. I was doing, working part-time, more or less just to keep my hand in. I'm a teacher. I was doing substitute teaching.
Yeah.
Well, that was it. Then I was furloughed due to the COVID situation, and so that's, back in operation, just starting literally right now. But I haven't gone back to that. I'm trying to figure out if I should do something more helping, full-time work, or just which way I should go from this point. And my husband is going back to work full-time, he's reopening another business. He's already got it filed, and he's doing that.
Okay.
But he can't move very forward with the COVID restrictions.
Sure. I think we get it. I think we get the picture. And Chris, I'll let you get started here, okay?
So, Marissa, I want to change your focus for a moment. I don't want you thinking about how you can earn more money right now, because that's not your greatest value. You have something that is way more valuable than that. And I can hear it in your voice. First off there, you and your husband have experienced a tremendous loss. And that loss comes with grief. It comes with that sadness. But what I don't hear in you is despair, which is a strength. So you have some resiliency there. I believe what your husband needs right now is not another paycheck from you coming in, although that could be helpful. Don't hear me not say that. But to rally together, to honor him and thank him and be grateful for the way that he's been able to provide, the way that God's provided for your family. And right as you've experienced this loss, this is a time for creativity. It's to start imagining what your life could be like moving forward. There may have been things in your previous life that were great and wonderful and things that were really stressful. I want you to be able to leave behind the things that sort of this season has pruned away, intentionally or unintentionally, but then rebuild into a life that you guys desire. And with this understanding that God will provide, and by the way, if you've built up businesses and work that's created millions in the past, it means that you already have the resources, the internal resources, to make a good living going forward. Even with the tremendous restrictions that we're facing, it just requires more creativity. But I want you guys to be able to celebrate where you have been, lament what's happening, but build hope for the future.
I have a verse for you that I have pinned on my refrigerator at some crazy seasons like the one you're in right now, where the bottom fell out and I lost it all too. It's Philippians 4:12, and it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And I, through my own trauma, you know, lost everything, my house, where I was working, and I moved 11 times in 13 years as I tried to put my life back together. So I want you to know, sister, I'm with you. And this is a time, like Chris said, of reinventing yourself, but of also putting your roots deeply down into the Almighty God, who promises to keep you alive in famine.
Absolutely. I, Marissa, I think there's something that's about to happen here, and you're going to get to filter out some people that weren't very good friends anyway. Anybody that would reject you because, well, they're not, they don't own their business anymore, or they file for bankruptcy, then they weren't really friends anyway, right?
Yeah, I thought about watching Regarding Henry, that movie. If you've ever seen it with Harrison Ford.
Okay, so, and then the second thing is, well, when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you 2 4-word mantras that are going to really help you, and they're going to help your husband, okay? 2 4-word, we don't even do mantras here, but I got two of them with 4 words each. I'm going to give those to you.
Let's call them meditations.
And I'm going to ask you a question that I hope will reset this for both you and your husband, and I'm so glad you called. You're listening to New Life Live. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Sherry Keffer is in the house right along with Chris Williams. Really glad you're with us here today.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. She brought me here. We're talking with Marissa, and of course, she and her husband have really had a tough time since the COVID virus, and definitely illustrating my point that we are not all in this together, going through it the same way. But here's what I wanted to share with you, Marissa. You know, I do think you need to be ready for some people to not be so excited about you because you don't have financial resources. That's one thing. Second thing is, if you could do some grief work, and I want to help you with that, I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and the grief workbook. Grieve all of this loss, you and your husband together. That would be so, so grateful. But here are these mantras that I want to give you. And one is this. This is for you to say to yourself all the time.
Okay.
You're not really saying it to yourself. It's just that you're not. I'm going to give the other one to say to your husband. Thy will be done. Those 4 words. You just say over. God, thy will be done. I want you, God, and I want your will in my life. And you make him. Okay. It says seek him first. Everything else is going to get taken care of. So just continuing, when something comes up, you just say, God, thy will be done. Now, what's his will? His will is you do the next right thing. I would talk to my husband about, honey, do you have any problem if I see during this tough time just how much I can work and contribute to get us back where we want to go, or you know, help us survive? Because if you could both agree on that, then I just think it'd be great. I know it's an old-fashioned marriage and all that, but just say, look, these are tough times, honey. I want to really do whatever I can. It's been so great. I want to show you how great it's been. And just let me see what I can do and develop here to help us out. But here are the four words that I want you to say to him all the time.
Okay.
We can do this. Honey, we can do this. He needs to hear from you, not, oh, you know, oh, this is horrible. Yeah. Honey, we are up for this. We can do this. So thy will be done to God and to your husband.
Okay.
We can do
this. For me, and then for him, we can do this. You're right. You seems like you know my husband, because I know that's what he needs to hear. And he doesn't, he's always been so generous with me and with everybody.
Yeah.
I have so many wonderful stories about him that way that, you know, I can't even imagine just how wonderful of a husband he's been. So,
well, you know, let me encourage you this. You say some of the things you've been saying to us to him, or you tell him, hey, this is what I told him about you. I love you. And if you looked at the worst case and you can live with the worst case, then it's all upside from there. And maybe worst case could be this amazing husband and I find the cutest little mobile home to rent in a mobile home park. You know, that it's just, you know, that's, and if we can enjoy each other and have fun.
Minimalism.
And you, we do this, honey, this may be God saying it's time to get into some minimalism. So, but when you talk about stuff like that, honey, I don't care. If we have a tent, you know, and if I've got you, I'm the wealthiest woman in the world. When he hears those things and acts like, oh, you know, don't say that, but it goes to his heart. But when he hears that you're up for it, you're not disappointed, not his fault, it just happens, you're going to really help him to do the very, very best that he can. So I'm excited that you called. And let me just send the Life Recovery Bible with this grief workbook in it. You just grieve the stuff you lost, and you have. And you're going to be grieving some loss of some people that you thought were your friends, but they're going to show you that they're not entitled to be your friend, because they're not going to be there for you. All right. God bless you. Hold on, and I'll get these resources to you. You bet. And you let us know how it goes. I'll tell you, you can do this. You're listening to me. You may be in the same situation she's in. Maybe worse. Two things. You can do this. And you can encourage somebody else to do this. You can do that. And you just seek God first. All right. So right now I'm not going to seek God. I'm going to seek Larry. He seeks God first. But Larry, you're in the studio. And what do we need to know about today?
Well, Steve, that last call, you're motivating. I want to go climb a mountain. I wasn't wanting to climb before. So I mean, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But there was a quote I was going to use in this pitch for support that I think really is for her, too. Henry Nouwen said, God's kingdom is the place of abundance, where every generous act overflows its original bounds and becomes part of the unbounded grace of God at work in the world. And if her husband's been as generous and as loving as she says, they're going to come out all right. There's not a doubt in my mind. And I just want to encourage folks, you know, usually I come here with a testimony, and I decided today I just want to share my heart a little bit. I'll do testimony next time. You know, we come to you and asking for money, and it's really out of friendship. We encourage your support, and honestly, we want you to give if you do it with a sense of joy in your heart. And you do it for the difference that you're making in the lives of struggling and hurting people. You know, Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver, and to give not reluctantly or under compulsion. And that's what we're seeking. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and got five loaves and two fish left, he was showing how God's love can multiply the effects of our generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that Henry Nouwen quote comes in. So I just want to ask you folks, make a gift if you would. And I'm unapologetic. I'm confident that support will come. I don't know who from. I know some of you are hurting. I know that this is a really awkward, uncertain, challenging time. But God uses the most unlikely people, the most unlikely times, and I'm just seeking you to be one of those unlikely people, please. And maybe it's just joining Club New Life. Maybe it's making a gift larger than you've given. But we could use your help, and it will mean continuing a great thing that you started here many years ago, Steve. So
yeah,
thank you.
I'm glad I did. I'm glad the Lord let me do that. And just want to challenge folks that if you are not experiencing financial challenges, please help us, because there are some people that probably can't continue to support or as much, and we're going to need that help. So please do. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. 1-800-NEWLIFE. You could go to newlife.com. Thank you, Larry. So grateful for you and all that you do for New Life. And let's go back to our phones here. And how about we talk with David from Cleveland, Ohio, WCVX. And hi there. How are you today? What's going on, David?
I'm doing okay. My wife told me 2 weeks ago that she just wanted to leave, and it was a big shock to me. And I've been just trying to deal with understanding why she's been feeling this way. And the only really thing that she's been telling me is that I'm either not the man she thought I was when we first got married, or that I don't handle the daily things in our life. I don't handle them right away, that I hesitate with them. And she went on to say that she's tried to talk to me about this before, and I haven't listened. And, you know, I told her, I'm listening now. Let's, you know, try a counselor or something. And we tried 2 sessions, but she just couldn't take it. And she wanted to go just live out in the woods for some reason, just to be away or something. And I was able to convince her to go to a woman's home.
Okay,
and she's been there since Monday.
All right, I don't want to run out of time on you here. What's the question for us so we know what we could help you with? It's a horrible situation.
Well, my question is how do I, like, find what I did wrong? You know, how can I fix me through this so that, you know, I can try to repair our relationship?
Okay, I got 2 questions for you. Number one, what are you aware of that you have not been handling well? Or what are you aware of that the way you handled it, even if it was perfectly, it really bothered her? What are those things?
Well, I know that, like, with certain situations, I've hesitated with things because I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I didn't know, like, if it's doing something I've never done before, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, what do I do next? You know, and usually I have to seek help with that. And she just expects that I should know exactly what I'm doing, you know, and just be confident through the whole thing.
Yeah. And so have you ever told her that you want to understand how that disappoints her? Understand what she was expecting? Have you talked about that? Just listening to her, because us men, we want to defend. Hey, wait, I need to get some help here. I know I can't meet your expectation, but have you ever just sat down and say, you know, on that point, I really need to understand you, not defend me? Well, you hear the music. We'll get back to you after this. But I'll tell you, you know, a lot of times the mystery can be solved just the way private detectives solve mysteries. They kind of take it one little clue at a time, and that leads to something else, and all of a sudden the big picture opens up. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking here with David, whose wife, she's leaving, and he's kind of left there, doesn't really understand why. He's seen some things, maybe procrastination, maybe moving slowly, doesn't really understand. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Chris, and then to you, Sherry. What do you think would be best for David, who wants to prevent this wife who leaving, who said the marriage is over.
Well, David, I just got to be really honest. There is a big gap between being disappointed over someone's hesitation and then wanting to abandon your life and live in the woods. Like that's a huge leap right there. And so I think that you're dealing with a lot of question marks that you don't have answers to in the middle of all of this. And certainly, hear me say this clearly, each person that comes to a marriage brings in their stuff and their baggage and their difficulties that has to be worked through. But I believe that there's probably something deep in your wife going on right now, and she has kind of made you I want to be careful here again because I want to give her legitimacy in her complaint, but it also seems like you're playing somewhat the scapegoat in her life. And so what I would want to be able to do is hopefully create safety to figure out what is going on inside of her, what's going on in her heart, what's going on. And if you haven't been a good listener, or if you haven't been really attuned to the inside of her, this is your best bet, is to approach her and saying like, hey, can we just have a conversation? And letting her know, I'm not going to pressure you to do one thing or another. I'm just going to ask and just try to get in on what's going on the inside. What are you feeling? What are you going through? What are you thinking? And that may answer some of those questions in that gap.
I want to ask you too, David. Did you grow up with a lot of chaos in your home or a lot of control in your home? Maybe both.
Maybe some control, not so much chaos.
Okay, but control.
I know my, well, I was going to say, my wife's background was very chaotic for her and very abusive.
And so, do you like change? Do you not like change?
I usually don't like change.
Yeah, and I think
I try.
That, yeah, I know. I think her trauma and your anxiety around loss of control are converging here. Mm-hmm. Because there are some things that would cause her to feel safe that she may have been asking for, but because they bring up anxiety for you, things that need to have money spent on, things that need to be repaired, things that need to be done. And as she's asked for that, and it becomes kind of some anxiety around what would need to be done around that project, it seems to me that that creates anxiety for you, and you feel stuck, and then she feels unsafe. Does any of that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I just... Yep. Therein lies the rub, right? Because her chaos and growing up and not being safe. So do you work in a business where there's like numbers or number crunchers, or are you data, like CPA, or what do you do?
I'm a mechanic.
A mechanic. Okay. So something that you do and you do well, right? You enjoy that. But where is the fear? Where is your fear around... issues of scarcity, issues of finances.
Yeah, it's been very difficult with our life. I was in the military.
Okay.
And I got disabled in Iraq in my lungs.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so after and since then, it's been just kind of a struggle, just trying to just pay bills and. Just get by day by day.
Yeah. So, first off, thank you for serving for us. We so value you, and we are so sad that you had this injury that's caused a disability, right? That you are doing your very best in order to cope with it. So not only was that a trauma event for you, right, because you're functioning in a different way than you function 10 years, whenever that was before, it changed everything.
Yeah.
But it also created a trauma event for her as she saw things kind of decrease. So much so that she got afraid and is willing to live in the woods instead of having to contend with figuring out a way through this. it's going to mean some flexibility on your part, my friend. And it's going to mean having to face your fears that are real. But letting her know that your fear about finances and the future have created some unsafety for her.
You know, here's the thing I would be saying. I think it's your best shot here. I'd be saying to her, I realize some of my fears have slowed me down and incapacitated me, and you've felt that, and you're kind of paralyzed by it. You think you don't have any choice but to leave. Well, if you could be patient, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go deal with those fears. I am going to make a transformation of my life. I'm going to change. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to meet with these men every week. I don't even know what men it is because I don't have anybody. I'm going to find them. I'm going to go and get some counseling. And we can try to help you find that. But you tell her what you're going to do. And you ask her, don't do anything until you see the man that I can become. But see, that's going to occur only if you're willing to say, this is my part in this, and here's what I'm going to do. But to try to figure her out and what she's doing and all of this, just not going to help you. And I'm so sad that she isn't saying, get help or this. She's saying, I want out of here. Let's try to win her heart back, not by what we say, but what we actually do. Wouldn't that be one amazing thing?
It's like, Steve, she didn't have anybody to encourage her like you encouraged the other caller today, saying we can do this, right? Yeah. In that moment of her need, she got scared instead of we can do this. There's going to be some things that'll need to change.
Yeah, and to tell David, you can do this. You can make these changes. I'm going to be here for another 6 months watching you make these changes. But, buddy, if you tell me you're just going to be more spiritual or something like that on your own, I don't think you've gotten the message. But you can do this, and I want to help you do it. All right, 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the program. We're about to close this one out, but we got so many callers I want to get to in this next program. 1-800-229-3000. But I'm so grateful that you are listening. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, if you got a little problem or a really big problem with sexual integrity, I think it's time to get it taken care of. And you can do that by signing up for September the 13th, September 12th. That's our online Every Man's Battle workshop. I want you to go. I want you to be free. Don't you want that? Don't you think God wants that for you? You can do that. It's a one-day experience online. You will be just amazed at the kind of change that you can make. Now, if you would like a great thank you gift, well, we've got from the Hope and Help series, The Best of Dr. Amen. It's a CD of all his great wisdom right here on radio. We'll send that to you, gift of any amount. I really am grateful to get to do this. Chris, Sherry, you're a gift of a lot of amount to me, and thanks for being here. 1-800-229-3000 for the next program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That call center is open for you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.